Okay, next we have Barb Steinbach and giving a report on IT quarterly.
Good morning.
Good morning, Board. Barb Steinbach, Information Technology. I included some visuals for you today. Let's see if I can get the password in. So I always like to start out and talk about a little bit of what we're working on. And I break it down into the different areas, the way we look at it. So what we're doing with the hardware systems, I've mentioned this before, we're kind of approaching a fast, hard deadline for the Windows 7 end of support through Microsoft. That means that they will not be sending out any more patches for Windows 7. And that's when the hackers, you know, have their heyday, like, oh, let's see who still has a Windows 7. So they start throwing out exploits. So we started out with 170 computers at the beginning of the year that we needed to replace, and we're down to 20. So I think we're doing pretty good. We have until January 1st. So, and we've got those budgeted, so I'm excited that we'll get all that temptation for Windows 7 hackers out of the county. What we also have been doing, and we started with the Justice Center. We're replacing, going throughout the county, replacing the 19-inch monitors with a little larger, and some instances have dual monitors. We're doing that building by building, so the Justice Center is done, and we'll be working on HSC next. And that will be, as time allows, most likely next month. I did want to talk about the audio issues and maybe toot the horn of Kyle just a little bit, the audio issues you were having here in the boardroom. For some reason, the system's switch lost its configuration, and so you had audio issues, and we worked and worked and worked with the vendor, and they were scratching their head and said, hey, you know, we didn't do anything special with the configuration. It was out-of-the-box stuff, and we don't know why it doesn't work. So Kyle, who is one who never wants to let a problem go, was scratching his head too and digging into it, and he finally resolved the issue and did save the config in case this ever happens again, and asked me, do I need to let the vendor know? And I said, yes, I think you should tell the vendor that we resolved it on our own, but don't give them the answer to the problem. So then that leads me into the next issue we had. They were replacing the software system at the commissary over at the jail. Same thing. They had hired a third party to install it, couldn't get it to work with our network. Kyle figured out the issue, and he said, should I fix it? And so I talked to the people at the jail, and they said, no, we paid for them to install this. They need to fix it. Well, they couldn't fix it and couldn't fix it. And it was getting to the point where it was causing an issue in the way the daily system ran. So Kyle fixed that one as well, and he did pass that information along. Apparently, this person that they hired to install their system, this was his first time around. So we did that to help them out. But I just wanted to toot Kyle's horn a little bit. He's been a real asset to our group. And I also just, on the hardware line, wanted to know, what do you think of the monitor tilting? Do you like that? Can you see the presenter better?
Yeah.
Facilities did a great job of coming up with a stand for us. We ordered the monitor that was tiltable. And then Aaron created the stand. So I was pleased with that.
So what feedback have you had from some of the users? Is it clear for the users still, the no reflective issues?
No, it's fine. It's perfect and beautiful. And, of course, you know, that's a little more glaring up on the wall. But, yeah, I like this.
Good.
I wanted to give you an update on the VoIP system, and you'll probably hear a repeat of this afternoon in the department head meeting. But so if you recall, Orion is doing a redundant phone system for us. It'll go along with our KubeCog solution. What they've done is, so they've created a new platform, and we are currently on the new platform. We had a brief outage when they moved us over there, and then now they're rebuilding our old platform, putting the redundant system at HSC. So we were supposed to be testing that yesterday and today, but Kyle is out for funeral leave, so we obviously had to push it back till next week. But once they get that in and tested, we will move back onto that platform, and then the current platform we are on will be our backup system. So we're currently using it. We know it works, which is always a good test of a backup system. But what this will do, originally when we got the phone system, it was all in the cloud. You know, I don't like the cloud, but it was at the Altoona site. So now the hardware will be in our locations, one here and one in HSC. So then we will have a little more control over network cuts, which happened to us a couple months ago. There was a cut between here and Altoona, and we lost our phones. So this will make sure that doesn't happen again. Unless there's a cut between here and Ames. I mean, you can't foresee what the cuts will be, but this will provide us with a lot more redundancy. I also wanted to update you a little bit on the public safety radio project. Now we're kind of, it's been going on for a while, and we're digging into the IT part of it, and namely the networking. We've been meeting with Raycom weekly to figure out how we're going to build the network that goes back to Marshalltown to the Raycom building. So right now it's going through ISU to their hub. I'm not going to name which building it is for security reasons, but we do have a fallback. If that's not going to work, we could run it through the Justice Center, through our fiber system there. We do have a couple dark fiber strands, which means there's nothing on it. So that's a backup if what they're doing at ISU won't work. Right now they're looking at the backup generator situation, the fuel for that, et cetera. So there's a lot of details we're working through. They hope to have this all, the temporary system, in place by the end of the year. Now, originally, when we talked about it, they wanted it in place by July. So it's sliding a little bit. Last I heard, end of the year.
So just to clarify here, public safety radio project is the equivalent of StoryCom?
Yes.
Thank you.
Sorry. I also wanted to talk about our network expansion at Animal Control. This has kind of been a sore subject for me. We did get approved for a radio tower on the building, and they installed that earlier this summer and found out that, oh, gee, pine trees at the cemetery are in the way, and it kept dropping packets. So they have come back. The vendors come back, and you did approve the quote. They will put a tower there, and then they will eat all the labor costs, and they'll reimburse us for the radio tower that's already there, the little antenna. So what we're doing now is we're working with planning and development, and we've gone through the first commission meeting, and now it has to go to the advisory committee.
Board of Adjustment
on September 18th. And once they approve it, then we're full stream ahead. I was hoping to get it in by the time that Animal Control had their open house at the end of the month. I'm not sure that's going to happen. But I'm excited. Then they will be on our network. They will have access to our shared drives. They will not be using webmail anymore. They'll have email. We're going to wait. I don't know what the timing is going to be on the VoIP system. I want to make sure that we're on the new system and stable before I bring them on with the phones. I'd hate to have to move them twice. Any questions on that? Just some miscellaneous things. For the multi-agency group, we're always fearful that the security isn't strong enough between the patrol cars, their laptops in the cars, and the message switch, which is actually, I don't know why they call it the message switch, but it's the software server that resides downstairs in our data center. So we did come up with a solution. It's we created a NetMotion, which is the software they use. We created a hub. So instead of everybody connecting directly into our server from the patrol cars, which this is Ames, ISU, and Story County, so now they connect to this NetMotion hub. So if there is an intrusion or something on any one of those legs coming into the hub, they will be shut off. And it took a long time to come up with this solution. It was something that the software company said they could do, but months later, they finally, and I'll toot another horn, they finally listened to what Joel Aaron said. So we got that resolved. Now, I wanted to also, you know, so many times people drop things on us. So I wanted to give you kind of a brief timeline of what we've got scheduled for the rest of the year. It's getting pretty full. So in September, we want to finish for the county attorneys the WatchGuard hardware and software installation. We did get that PC installed in Julie's office, and she's going to find out that it's a huge, beefed-up system. It's going to throw out a lot of heat. So having it in her little office, she's going to be shedding some clothes, just FYI. But and I'll ask Jessica, she's here. Is the city of Ames going to help train on the software?
I don't know. I can look into
okay.
that. Julie's handling a lot.
Sure. Me, so okay. And that was just a curiosity. Also, in September, the radio project, which is ongoing through the end of the year, we're going to do the final stages of the Ariane VoIP redundancy project. Another thing I will mention that's very important, we're going to do Java removal on all the TCM and Eagle Recorder machines. And the reason for this is Java is a software that's been riddled with hacks and exploits, and this is a company thing. I don't know if in order to strengthen their software, they've decided they need to start charging for it. Before, it used to be free, and now they're going to charge $25 per workstation. So Tyler, TCM, has come up with their own form of Java. So what we need to do then is uninstall Java and install Tyler's version of it. It's a very tedious project, and it will take quite a while. So that's why I put September, October. It's going to take 2 months to get all the PCs updated. But it will be a good thing. It will save us money. The only ones that are still going to have Java and pay the $25 are the OpenFox users, and that's over in Dispatch. That's what they use for. OpenFox has not come up with an alternative, and that software is a little... it needs to be updated anyway, so we'll see what happens there. In October, we still got the radio project ongoing. We hope to complete the animal control network installation. We're going to assist facilities with the DHS temporary relocation for 11 users when they replace the carpeting there. And then we're going to start working on the paging notification project at the Justice Center. I think we'll start out by forming a committee. I've been feeling out with our vendors, hey, do you guys do this kind of thing? So we're getting some tentative quotes in. But I'd like to bring those to the committee and say, here, look at these. Where do you think we're at? Where do you think we're going? Committee hasn't been formed. It's just something I want to do in October. And I'll probably talk about that this afternoon, too. In November, we still got the radio project. Our Windows 7 replacement should be completed. And then we're going to be start working with planning and development on their CitizenServe implementation, which Jerry's very excited about. December, the radio project should be completed, and then we're going to complete our monitor replacements at HSC. Just a note of some of the memberships that IT participates in. And then I wanted to kind of go over the attachments that I included. So... this is a pie chart of our help desk tickets. It's hard for us to say we have this many tickets and we close this many tickets because so many times we get a phone call, we resolve it. Oops, it didn't make a ticket. So what we've done, and I felt would be a better visual into what we work on, is let's do a pie chart and just show the percentages and how they compare to each other. So the large blue area is our software support. This is how much of our tickets have to do with software. And it used to be, before our Marco printing solution, this used to be the printer area. It used to take up 50% of our time. So that not only has saved the county money in equipment and printing fees, it's also saved time with IT, which is nice. And then the second largest area is the hardware, which is the orange area, and then the phone system. The rest is just basically miscellaneous things. We probably need to drill down with our selections when you open a ticket, what you can put. I think if we got more insight, we could drill down and add a few more categories. On-call is, I think we had in the last quarter, maybe 12 on-calls. It seems minimal, but when something happens after hours and it breaks, it's very important. So that's not to take away from how important it is. And then I also wanted to show you, we always get questions about, well, how many page hits do we have? And so we just did the top 26 page hits. Let me see if I can make this bigger. Now, we had 260 unique visitors, and this is year to date. Unique visitors means different IP addresses, and it does not include any internal times that we click on the website. So we have 260 different people visiting our website. they could come on 10 times, but once their IP address is logged, it stays the same. So it's unique visitors. And it's always interesting to find out that the first thing they do after they get on our main page is go to the jail information because they want to see who's in jail. And then they want to look at their property records and look and see what their assessment is. One thing that was interesting was the Story County alerts that seems to be very popular too. And then animal control is up there. Everybody wants to see what cute kitties are in the pound. And then the treasure with vehicle registration and plates. So it goes down to, and then ordering special plates was at the end. I think that was number 26. So agenda and minutes was number 25, which I was surprised it was so low. But we'll keep bringing this to the board every quarter so that maybe we can watch and see how the numbers change. I know some of this is seasonal, like with property tax. It's probably higher September, October, maybe even August. And then when the assessments are done, I'm sure the assessor's site has more hits.
And the time period was from January.
This was year to date, yes.
And that's fiscal or calendar?
January.
Okay, thank you.
So the 260, of the 260, that's just going to Story County in general. That's the total.
Yes, that's the main
page. Of those, then
yes.
196 went on to jail, 187 on to Beacon.
Yes,
okay.
Correct.
Got it.
So I do have, just to make sure, County, that of the down the list, you're saying they all entered through Story County. They could also have saved this for a direct hit on the page.
They could have a bookmark,
right?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
But if they bookmarked it, they've already had their IP address.
Right, but I just wanted to make sure they were all. Yes. Yeah, some of these are a little shocking.
Well, it's interesting. Yeah. Human nature. That's my report. Do you have any questions?
I think it was a great report, and I really appreciated the graphic.
Thank you.
Yeah, that was a nice addition.
And I really liked your timeline because it answered the one question I was going to ask was in regards to the network installation for animal control. So thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you, Barb.
You're welcome.
I'm going to suggest, let me see where we are on the agenda. I'm going to suggest we take a 5-minute break. If we could.
Yeah, that'd be
so great. Everybody?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah,
no, we don't need to.
I'm holding your cap. I'm just kidding.
It's 10 after 12, and we're back in session. Next is upcoming agenda items. Does anybody have anything to, other than what we normally have presented on upcoming agendas? None? Okay. Then we go to public forum number 2, comments from the public on items not on this agenda. The board may not take any action on the comments due to the requirements of the open meetings law, but may do so in the future. Are there any members of the public who would like to make a public comment at this time? Seeing nobody move to the microphone, I'll close the public comment session. Liaison assignments, committee meeting updates, and announcements from the supervisors. Anything anyone would like to announce?
Well, for me, for tomorrow, I'll be at the Drainage District meeting. I will then be meeting with Marion Cressy on Boost right afterwards, because he'll be over on Boone, so I'll just meet with him right there. And then I have a meeting in Ames, and then back here for our special meeting. That's Wednesday. Thursday, I'm trying to think, what do I have Thursday morning?
We have incident command
training. Yes, thank you. I knew. Yes, the incident command training going on Thursday, and then the joint funders meeting. And then Friday, I am, I'll be at the Day of Caring breakfast. Then I have a mental health expo meeting. Then I'll be down in Maxwell. And then I'll be back in Ames for the DCAT meeting. And then I'm just going to add in for Monday the 16th, that is the day of the Mental Health Expo. And so I probably will be at that pretty much out most of the day because I am a co-chair and I'm also taking care of the lunch and learn, the introduction for that, and then for the evening, helping with the evening coordination for that night. So I may be over here, but I'm available by phone if need be. So that's my schedule so far.
Sure. Well, for me, I'll also be with you over Booth at the Drainage District meeting. And then
be an incident command training. Now, there's an asset meeting, joint funders meeting on Thursday night, but I will not be attending. You guys already know that. You two are going, and instead I'm attending a separate function that the board was invited to. And I won't be here on Friday or Monday. My niece is getting married in Green Bay over that weekend, so my presence and my is required, along with, I'm sure, a big check and lots of driving my mother around services over that weekend.
And we will be in a lot of the same meetings this week, a drainage district meeting. I'm also in the incident command training, and I will attend the SA joint funders meeting. In addition, I have conservation board tonight, and there's some other things on my calendar, and I forgot to bring it. So I know I will be here for the days that you folks will be out of some other things. So I'll be hanging around. And we are now going to move on to discussion and consideration of the Director of External Operations and County Services applicant, Sandra King. I'm going to give a little bit of background first. There was a committee of staff who helped come up with the three finalists for the Director of External Operations, and I have thanked them by email, but I want to thank them personally here. The screening committee consisted of Ethan Anderson, Joby Brogdon, Margaret Janes, Lisa Markley, Noel McClatchy, Keith Morgan, Darren Moon, Jerry Moore, Alyssa Wignall, and Carla Webb. They started with an excellent field of applicants, of candidates, and they brought to the board three extremely qualified individuals. We interviewed individually those individuals on Friday and Monday, and they are very qualified. I want to give a special thanks to Alyssa Wignall and Noel McClatchy for managing the recruitment and selection process to date, and Katie Nielsen, our HR intern, for all of her valuable assistance also. The HR staff did an excellent job of managing this process, and we appreciate that very much. We are anticipating having a new Director of External Operations and County Services soon to join our team and help us to better serve the residents of the county. The committee narrowed the field to three applicants. They're Eric Christensen, who currently serves as County Administrator in Kitson County, Minnesota; Sandra King, who is an adjunct faculty with the Minnesota State University at Mankato, Minnesota; and Lucy Martin, our Story County Auditor. Eric Christensen and Lucy Martin did request that the board conduct the evaluation of their competency in closed session. That is allowed by Code Section 21.5, Sub 1, Subsection I, which says, and I'm just going to read it, a governmental body may hold a closed session only by affirmative public vote of either two-thirds of the members of the body or all of the members present at the meeting. A governmental body may hold a closed session only to the extent a closed session is necessary for any of the following reasons. And I is to evaluate the professional competency of an individual whose appointment, hiring, performance, or discharge is being considered when necessary to prevent needless and irreparable injury to that person's reputation, and that individual requests a closed session. As I stated, two of our applicants did request closed session. Sandra King did not request a closed session, so we will first continue an open session, and we will discuss her qualifications among the three of us. And then I would entertain a motion, if there is one, to go into closed session to discuss the qualifications of the other two applicants. So let us start right now to discuss Sandra King, and would either of the other supervisors care to begin the discussion?
Okay. In the approach for me to do my evaluations, I decided that to make a strong utilization of an evaluation sheet that was provided by HR. I believe that the same evaluation sheet was used by Noel and Alyssa in the first round, and certainly was used by then the interviewing committee in the second round. And this sheet touched upon a variety of preparedness issues, how liked or whatever. And in the scoring, then I divided that sheet further and went ahead and scored them on each most of the evaluation categories here for their interview, for their written, and for their presentation, and used the scoring matrix of 0 to 5 for each of these. And in the end, for Sandra, I came out with, for my particular items I scored, a total score for each applicant could be as high as 146, and she scored 141 on that particular evaluation form. I also, in the 12 interview criteria or interview questions I asked, I gave a plus, a zero, or a minus. Plus being maybe a plus one, zero being, well, didn't really answer it, et cetera, or a minus one if I felt that the answer was something that I was concerned about. And Sandra scored 12 out of 12 on that particular evaluation. Of the candidates for the top four candidates of the committee itself, I scored as far as how many people got first listing, how many were listed as a second choice or whatever, and so I came out with Sandra's score. I just gave like 1 point apiece or 1.5. Okay, so she came out with a score of 1.5 out of a total of there could have been a total of 14, but that's assigning a weighted score, okay? So then the top things that I felt were positive about her is, and I need to look at my notes in the back here, right? And I tried to make my notes as soon as after each interview. So I appreciated how the interviews were scheduled here. And there was an overall conclusion section at the back of this form that was given to me by HR. It was, what was your overall impression of the applicant? I felt she was a well-qualified superior candidate. I felt she would represent Story County in a positive manner, and she'd be able to gain the support and respect of the other department heads, elected officials, and employees. So I answered yes to that. Does she represent a vision for this position? Instead of a vision, I looked at how well I felt the person understood the key responsibilities as I felt that the key responsibilities were, and I felt yes, and I felt they possessed, she possessed the overall qualities and abilities. I liked that she talked early about adding value, and she emphasized adding value in her presentation. She emphasized adding value in the one-on-one interview. She specifically referenced several times talked about the flow of communication and in our interview and acting as a conduit to keep supervisors informed. And as you may have figured out, that's a big one for me, is flow of timely information back and forth. I liked her experiences and her training in leadership, that she focused on the employees. I heard her talk about balance, about even in the public presentation, expectations of not only the supervisors and not only the public, but also hearing from expectations from the employees and melding them all together into a workable ability. I felt she had good analytical skills, and I was positive about that she liked to tailor her style to individual people's personalities. I felt she had a lot of experience doing that. I was very impressed. One of the questions I asked her was how she evaluated her quality of work. And what she said to me is she uses outside groups, small outside groups of peers. She would look to the Board of Supervisors, she would look to the staff, and she would look to the public for that. And she had specific ways about evaluating how her our quality of work was still good. And I liked that she referenced public satisfaction and county quality in some of the questions. I also liked, I asked her the question about how was she ever handled when she disagreed with something, and how she handled that. And the example she gave me was they were going to hire at the university a part-time VA liaison. She had heard from multiple constituents and staff that it was a full-time need, and she continued in persevering, but at the same time working within the existing system. Those were positives I had with her. I'm done on that part of it.
So I too use the scoring system that the other folks have used as well. And I just did the basic 1 to 5 that is on here. On that sheet, there was a total possibility of 55 points for Sandra, and on my sheet, she scored a 51 on there. My interviews with her, she is very confident. Her experiences certainly shows her leadership abilities. Her communication abilities were very apparent from the onset of her presentation and in my one-on-one time with her. I did ask her, one of the questions I had asked her on was about how did she, if there was an employee who needed coaching or discipline, how did she handle that type of situation? And she talked about, really kind of delving in to find out what the issue is, not necessarily needing to go directly to a disciplinary action. But coaching is always, kind of the better way, unless it has been something that is quite egregious. But coaching is definitely the way to initially to work with that person. Maybe they need to have an improvement plan done. And then she also identified maybe there is something that they're missing from kind of the leadership portion of, do they need additional training? Was there not clear communication. So to me, she wasn't putting the issue all on the employee, but also kind of internally looking at herself saying, oh gosh, what did I miss to potentially help this person along? So I found that very favorable in her. Collaboration, she certainly has had opportunities in collaboration. She talked about, that was another one of my questions. She talked about where they did some consolidation within their local government and some positions that were more of an elected that had moved to an appointed position and how she brought in different people. She led the group on that and how she brought folks in to get their input. So it wasn't just pushed upon, this is the direction to go, but really tried to get all the entities who were involved on there. So she certainly had some good areas in there. I think, as I said, she's got some great leadership qualities in just the short time with her, and also based on her resume and stuff, the ability to work well with others. She definitely had some good listening qualities. I'd ask her my question, and she'd kind of repeat it out loud to make sure that she was understanding, not all of the questions, but some of the questions, to make sure, especially if there were two or three parts, that she understood exactly what I was asking to then respond back to me. I think she had some very good portions to her. One additional area she brought up, something that she enjoyed doing, was working with folks who had complaints. She said she actually enjoyed working in that particular area, and said because of one of the situations, she goes, a lot of times when they come, it's not necessarily a complaint, but they're not always feeling heard.
And so you can kind of navigate to address the issue with them by just using some of those listening skills. So those were, you know, some of the areas that I found with her.
Well, this is really interesting because, as you can tell, the three of us had our own sets of interview questions. So kind of learning a little more here are some things that, you know, there's some questions that others asked that I didn't. So I've picked some things up I thought were very interesting. I'll start out with your public presentation. She has some great leadership skills, has had some great experience in developing leadership skills. They're our most unique kind of things. And made the point in her presentation that leadership skills are transferable, which I think is true. A fellowship she had in her 3 years in that, her second year, she said, was the year you dug deeply into things. And the area she dug deeply in, she said two. One is student success. The other one was how data is used in decision making, and talked about continuous improvement and lifelong learning. Something very important to me. I love to hear people say, I use data and information to make decisions rather than coming in with, you know, prejudging, as often people do. She's got military experience. She had 8 years in county government. She had good experience in county government, but it is not recent. She's been in academia. Most of her staff supervision was done in terms of numbers when she was in county government rather than in academia. She did say she'd supervised a couple of support staff recently and talked about her passion for working with and helping others. She has very good communication skills. I really enjoyed her public presentation, did a good job of that. I had something that I thought was a very interesting answer, or talking about communication and how you would communicate with people, and that it would be very important to know what the supervisors wanted to know of her, we wanted to be kept up speed on. And then she said, of course, sometimes people don't know they want to know something until something goes wrong. And I thought that's really insightful. And I think that's one of the problems that, you know, when you're staff working for a governing board that you have, is people say, here are my expectations, here's what I want to know, but you don't know what you don't want to know until something goes wrong. And I think that's kind of a dynamic that takes understanding on both sides. I know I told you I didn't need to know this. Now I feel a need to know, rather than why didn't you tell me this? But I just thought it was good that she understood that sometimes things rise to a level of importance, not because of something that happens, which then is nobody's fault. And there is that kind of, you know, give and take there. She had some good questions about expectations. She asked about dashboards. Did we have a dashboard? And I thought that was a really good question. I said, yeah, you know, we need to. Because there are some, you know, there are some goals that you want to track all the time, you know. And that's one thing that I thought, you know, there's some sense of goal tracking there that I thought was really interesting and really excited me both in that in terms of making difficult decisions. I do see that her county experience is really not recent. She spent the last close to decade and a half or a little more in academia. She has picked up some skills there that I think would be very useful in this position. So I see her as a strong candidate. That's all I have. Is there anything else anybody wants to discuss? Back and forth, but okay. In that case, let me look for a note here and make sure that I'm doing. In closed session, then, we would, if we have a closed session. You were talking about the applicants who requested a closed session. And there would be minutes taken of the closed session. So I will now, if there's no further discussion, I will entertain a motion for the board to go into closed session to discuss applicants Eric Christensen and Lucy Martin.
I would so move.
I will second the motion.
Okay, any discussion? Olson?
Aye.
Evans?
Aye.
Merkin? Aye. So we will go to closed session.
Oh my gosh.
We're live.
Okay, this is Story County Board of Supervisors. It is 1:30 on September 10th, and we are back in open session. And the last thing on our agenda is to adjourn our meeting, so I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
Okay. Heddens?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Merkin? Aye. We adjourn.